Okay, good evening, everybody. We're holding right now in the period that's called the Shiva de Nechamta, where we read the seven Haftoras of consolation, trying to pick up the pieces and draw strength for the future. And we have to talk a little bit. I mean, obviously, every Haftorah and every Parsha that we read in the course of these next 7 weeks has a special character and a special flavor to it, another special message of consolation. So we're at 7 weeks of it. we will talk about also that's a very interesting proportion. There's three Haftorahs that we read during the 3 weeks of the Bein HaMetzorim, Shimu, Divrei, and Chazon. The three Haftorahs which talk about the impending doom that was going to befall Am Yisrael, and then there's a seven of consolation, and that's something also interesting to look into, the proportion, three and seven. Three of Puronius, three of hard times, and seven of good times, which will should come speedily in our days, and we'll talk about that also. The parasha opens up in this week via Ekev Tishmon, right? And at the heel you will listen. So Rashi, taking the literal taich, the little translation of heel, as in, the thing at the bottom of the foot. So there are certain mitzvahs that Odom Dosh Ba'akevav. There are certain mitzvahs that people take lightly, and they're so important. And it's warning us to take even the mitzvahs that people may, walk on. More seriously, and we're going to get back to that, but the Medrash takes a different approach. The Medrash talks about via Akev Miloshin at the end, Rosh, right, would mean at the beginning, like Rosh Hashanah. So by contrast, Akev Ahil could mean the end, right? Now, the truth is, we found this earlier in Chumash, way back. Anyone want to take a guess? Found the idea of Akev, meaning like the end. Akev meaning the end, like Rashi, like the Medrash rather says. Parshas told us. Right, Yitzhak Avinu has two kids, right? Esav comes out first, then comes out the second guy. V'yado ochezes ba'akev Esav, right? His foot is holding the heel of Esav, right? Vayikra shmo Yaakov, so they called him Yaakov. Now, I don't get it, right? Yaakov was doing the holding onto Esav's heel. They should have called him Ochaz, right? He's holding, right? The heel belongs to Esav, right? Call him Yaakov. Call him Achaz, because Yodo is holding on to the heel. So there's no doubt in my mind that Rashi is bothered by that question. And Rashi brings an interesting chazal. Ba'akev Esav. On the words, Ba'akev Esav. The heel of Esav. Simen. And this is a sign. She'ein ze maspik ligmor. Malchuso, Achze Omeid Vinotremeno. He is not going to finish his kingdom until this one comes and takes it from him. Right? So it's very interesting. It sounds nice, but we have to break down the words. Ligmor Mal, he's not going to finish his kingdom. Now, I don't know what that means. I have to understand. So he's not going to finish. So Akev means like to finish. Right? He's going to want to finish and then, right? Ligmor Malchuso, and then Yaakov is going to come and take it from him. So, meaning, say, Yaakov takes Esav's heel away. He takes Esav, but the thing that he takes from Esav, politically speaking, is Gemar Malchuso, the finality of his kingdom, which something which needs definition. Okay. So, there's a famous Gemara in Makkos. Everyone knows it because Makkos is a Siyum Masechta, right? every year, nine days. It's a 9 days Masechta, right? Only 24 daf, right? And interestingly enough, it's really the very, very final Gemara in Makkos has a 9 days message. Says the Gemara, right, famous story that the Kfaya, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Malchum Aderech, so Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva were walking in the road, V'kol, Shomu Kol, Hamona, Shalomi, Mipalta, Baruch, Gmev, Vesumil, they heard the Romans parting, even from a great distance, like they were having such a wild party, able to hear it like an amazing distance away. V'tchilu Bochen, so he started crying, Rabbi Akiva, Mesachek, but Rabbi Akiva was laughing. They asked him, why are you laughing? Why are you guys crying? So they told him, these people, these primitives, right, that they worship idols and they burn incense to the stars, and they're sitting, pretty, tranquil, and the house of, the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is burnt, we shouldn't cry. Omrohem, so he told him, Lekach ani metzach, that's the very reason that I am laughing. Mal ovrei ratzono kach, le'osei ratzono achas kam v'kama, if God makes it so good, right, for the people that transgress his will, how much more so for us that we keep what he wants. So if the Ovrei Avera, have such good lives, we're going to have much better lives. It's a Kal V'chomer. It's no responses recorded over here. But then it goes on to say another story. Shuv Pam Achas Hayu Olim LiYerushalayim. They were once, these same group of Tanoim were on their way to Yerushalayim. When they reached Harat Sofim, from which you could see the Temple Mount, so Koru Bigdayam, so they ripped their rent their garments. When they reached where they could see Harabais, they saw, when they got close to Harabais, they saw a fox come out from the base Kochi Akaroshim. They started crying, and Rabbi Akiva started laughing. They asked him, why are you laughing? They asked him, well, why are you guys crying? They told him, the place, Kodesh HaKadoshim, which it says in the Pasuk, Vazar Karev Yumas, anyone who's not a Kohen, and he goes in there, deserves death. Vakshav Shulim Hilchubo, and now the foxes run there. Lo Nifken, we shouldn't cry. That's the very reason why I'm laughing. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, "Vaydili edim nimanim esuria koyim vezachario ben yevarechiyahu." Right, the Navi Shai says that he got a nevuah. I take for me two trustworthy witnesses, Uriah Cohen and Zachario ben Yevarechiyahu. Umachi ma'inyan Uriah etzel Zachario, Uriah b'mikdash rishon vezachario b'mikdasheni. What do these two gentlemen have to do with each other? They didn't live in the same era. Uriah was lived by the first temple period, and Zechariah was, Chag Yisrael Malachi, they were the last Nevi'im that ushered in the second temple period. But rather, it's coming to teach you that the prophecies of Zechariah is intertwined with the prophecies of Uriah. By Uriah it says, Lochem biglochem tzion tzadeh techarashio. He gives Am Yisrael Musar, right, that because of you, now Tzion will be like it'll be plowed over, Tzion, the Harabai, so maybe it will be plowed over like a field. It's going to be laid desolate, plowed over like a field. Bizchariah ksiv, but in Zechariah is the nevuah of the geula, of the redemption, all Yeshua's kenim, his kenim, brachavos Yerushalayim, that yet, the old and the old will sit, together with the young in the streets of Yerushalayim. Until I did not see with my own eyes a fulfillment of the prophecy of Uriah, of Lachain Tzion, Sode Techarash, that the Harabai should be plowed over, I was afraid I won't see the Nevu of Zechariah, which he talks about the Gula, upheld either. Now that the prophecy of Uriah has been fulfilled, right? Because, you know, we see that Har HaBayis has been plowed over. Now we can be assured that the Nevuah of Zechariah of the Gula will be fulfilled. So listen to how the Gemara ends off. Beloshon Hazeh Amrulo. With this, the following is what they told him. Akiva Nichamtanu. Akiva Nichamtanu. Akiva, you've consoled us. Akiva, you've consoled us. So first of all, Chazal, they're very like, Beloshon Hazeh Amrulo. Right? That there was a code here. Right? Chazal dropped me a code. It's not just, you know, not approximating what they said. Beloshon Hazeh. Amrulo. They told him this. Akiva Nichamtanu. Akiva Nichamtanu. Right? Rabbi Kiva's name is a part of it. Right? Akiva Nichamtanu. Akiva. Akev. As we're going to discuss. Right? And it's said doubly. Akiva Nichamtanu. Akiva Nichamtanu. Right? Whereas by the very, very first story, there's no response recorded. He explains to him why they're laughing, and then there's no reply on their part. So I guess we have to ask, what is the difference between the first story, when they heard the party of the Romans, and Akiva says, if they have it good, we'll definitely have it good. And so, but, you know, no reply there. Whereas over here, I said, I see, you know, that the negative prophecies have been fulfilled, so I know the positive prophecies are coming. Over here, they... with this, they're consoled, and they say it twice. Akiva Nichamtanu. Akiva Nichamtanu.
It's like, not to jump to them, but it's like the rich irony, just coming out of Tishra, and like, you know, the whole story of Akiva, or Sarum and Machos, and all of them say, like, be quiet. There's like no response to the torture that they came to endure.
Yes.
There was no answer to his point that he made originally about the party, and there was no point to actually Rabbi Akiva's end. There was no answer.
Yeah. So we'll try to explain this. All right. The so Rashi says, you know, that Akev refers to Mitzvah She'odam Dosh Ba'akevav, right? But on the other hand, we also find Ekev refers to Kol HaTorah Kula. Ekev Asher Shama Avram B'Koli, Vayishmor Mishmarti Chukosai, Mitzvosai V'Sorosai. Right, Kodesh Kula says to Yitzchak and Beauty because Abraham, you know, because Ekev, right? Ekev, right, he kept, you know, Mitzvosai, he kept Kol HaTorah Kula. Right? Right?
How Abraham? Torah is very clear, it makes a statement. Abraham kept all those
Hakim Shmati,
right. It's very simple. How's Abraham, before the
Tan
Torah, he know all the Torah Kula?
Okay.
He found it at his own?
Oh, well, some of it he figured out. Some of it, you know, there's a Lashon Chazal, also Shtei Kil Yosef, Shtei Rabbonim, Vayumulamdos Torah, because who made his two kidneys like two rabbis, and they taught him Torah. So it may have been what we call Ruach HaKodesh. Right. However it happened. Right? Now that, you know, what was the biggest test, you know, that Avinu had to face? The Akedah. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to bless you. I'm with you forever now. Ekev asher shamata b'koli. Ekev. Right? Because you listen to me. And that's going on the Akedah. So it means Kol HaTorah Kula. It means, you know, it means like a big, big nisayon, a big test like the Akedah. It also means the Mitzvah Shadam Dosh Ba'akevav. Right? How do you reconcile all these different meanings of the word Akev? Right? Another Lashon in Chazal Darshan Akev is Kufayim Beis, 172. That's all of Avraham Avinu's life as a frum Jew. Right? Because the first 3 years he didn't know God. He lived 175 years. So his first 3 years he didn't know any better, but at 3 years old he figured out the truth. So for 172 years, right, he was a God-fearing Jew. So Akev means, you know, a lot of big stuff. It also means Mitzvah Shalom Dash Ba'akeva. You know, and how are we going to reconcile? It means big things. It means small things. Right. Truth is like this. A question has to be raised. You know, let's let's get a little bit more disenchanted before we find some hope, right? The right, you know, we've been in Golis now for almost 2,000 years. No end in sight, right? But one thing we do see, that the generations are getting smaller and smaller, right? Right, you know, we're not, you know, we don't have people like on what was, you know, before the Holocaust, and the Achorim are not like the Rishonim, and the Rishonim are not like the Gonim, and the Gonim are not like the Amoroim, who are not like the Tanoim, who are not like the Nevi'im, right? You know, there's Yerida Sadoris. The generations are getting smaller and smaller. So a question could be raised like this, right? If the greater generations couldn't fix up the situation and, you know, have merit to have the Geula and the rebuilding base on Mikdash, how are we going to pull it off? Right? That's one question to have in mind. Right? But then there's another question over here, right? Right, the pasuk says, "Samchenu ki mos inisanu shnos ra'inu ra." Hakadosh Baruch Hu should make us happy, like the days of our oppression, like all those years that we saw bad things. Right. So the Ramchal in his Ma'amar Gula asked the following question, and he asked it already in his day. Let alone that we're 200-300 years down the line, there's not enough time and game left to play. Right. Because if Hakadosh Baruch Hu has to give us simcha, right, like all the days of oppression, right, and the whole world is going to last 6,000 years, right, there's only 200 some odd years left, you know, in the game, you know, before it's all over, right, and chad choruv, and you know, I always say, you know, climate change is real. It's real. It's just not happening fast enough, right, because we need the polar caps to melt and the world to be flooded. You know, within 200 some odd years, we need to be producing more gas emissions, right, to speed up the process. We're very behind schedule. If by the year 6,000, Chazal say that there's going to be water everywhere, right? So don't buy those Teslas. You stick with gasoline, and let's do it right.
It's not water. It's not supposed to be new marble.
It's also me. As the world's being reconstructed, it says they hover over the water and they're just waiting the world to be rebuilt over the course of the seventh millennium, right?
2 points. You said Hashem make a promise that after the Mabul of Noah, he will never break Mabul, the flood. And one more thing, is there anything the Yid can do to stop the catastrophe? Why should the world be ended? It's going to be happy.
No, it has to end so we can move on. Yeah. It's a happy ending. That's what we're trying to explain. Happy ending, right? Happy ending so we can move on, you know, progress, you know, get to a higher place, right? All right, so there's how can Akadosh Baruch Hu be Mekayim Samchenu ki mos inisanu shnos ra'inu ra'a if we've been in Golis for over 1,900 years? Right, and there's only, you know, 200 some odd years left till the world ends. Now, I mean that in the nicest possible way. You know, so we could move on to the next chapter. Right, it's another question to ask. Right, so now there's another question. You know, all related. We're taught, Chazal tell us that, you know, before someone is born. So he learns the whole Torah in his mother's womb with an angel, right? And then, you know, born, and then, you know, the Malch Bav is Sotro Alpiv, you know, gets hit on the mouth, and he forgets everything. You know, but that Torah that you were taught, right, that's your portion, right? That everyone has his own unique portion in the Torah. That's what we've done. V'tzein chelkeinu b'Torah Techa. Everyone has his unique portion in life, and we should be zochet that our unique portion in Torah should be manifest. So you go through your whole life, right, you know, engaged in recollection, right? Recollection, right? To get back your chelek in Torah you were taught. So what did you gain? What's it all for? What did you gain? Right? Now, the truth is, you know, there's a much more frightening thought, you know that we know that the neshama, shenasata bi tahorahi, you know, the neshama started off pure. You know, closing the Baruch Rebbe Olav Shalom, I'm told he said, you know, in his Birchas HaShachar, Elokai Nishar Shenasata Bi Tahora Haisa, right? It was pure, right? You get a little bit dirty, you know, course of your lifetime, right? Halavai, you should leave this world as pure as you were born, right? And so, you know, what's it all for? You know, kuli hai v'ulai, you'll get back to where you started from if you're lucky, right? So what's it all for? You're in danger of losing, that we understand. Danger of losing, right? Danger of not regaining what you lost. So what's the point? That it's seemingly, the best you can do is to get back where you started. All right, seemingly. All right.
What are you gaining by
that? Well, we got it.
Start over again?
So that's our question. That's our question. All right, so... So now it's a very interesting Medrash Rabbah. At the end of the 6 days of creation, well, which we know the 6 days of creation are parallel to the six millennia of this world. Now that if plan A was that Olam Hazeh would just be 6 days long, you know, if Adam Rishon would have kept the faith and not eaten from the tree, Shabbos wouldn't have just been Me'enon, but would have been Olam Haba Mamash, right? Would have been 6 days, and it's saying, Besod Yomosha, Kelev Shanim Beinecha, Kiyom Esmo, God to you, 1,000 years is like one day. That's where it would have been. Like, you know, what's now thousands of years would have been condensed into single days, 6 days, say Sheshime Mase, and the seventh millennium, Yeshabah's seventh day would have been connected. What for us is now the seventh millennium, Yom Shekulo Shabbos. All right, so at the end of the sixth day, which we know also represents the end of time, right? Because Shabbos represents Olam Haba. So by all the 6 days of creation, Ba'al Kim Kitov, God's always good, right? And there's two exceptions to that. Right? Lo Tov Heyot Ha'adam Levado. Not good for man to be alone. All right, that's the low tov. Right, and then there's something else. Valkim es kol asher asa vihine tov ma'od. God saw everything created and it's very good. So there's one no good. That's man being alone. You know why that is? All right, because if you drink at a party, who's going to drive you home? All right. You guys are asleep. Anyway, and we're going to get back to that in a second because these two are connected. No, that's no comment. That's no comment, right? No comment. Doesn't say anything, right? Not ra, not to, right? But the... But it is related to what it says. Valkim at the end of 6A. Valkim is kol asher asa vihine tov ma'od. And then goes into Shabbos. Right? It's very good. All of a sudden, everything was just stam good. Now all of a sudden, it's very good. Right? So the Medrash Rabbah discusses this on that pasuk, and it says tov zehachaim, tov ma'od. Zuhamisa, good, that's life. Very good, that's death. Right? You know, in the yeshivas they say, you know, in the famous Gemara, that, you know, Shena's achas mishishim shomisas, sleep is 1/60th of death. So imagine how geshmak death must be. Right? But it's a medrash. Tov mod zuhamisa. Tov ze yetzara tov. Tov ma'od ze yetzara hara. Tov ze Gan Eden. Tov ma'od ze Gehenim. Amazing. All these things, what we call the bad stuff, that's the very good. You know, the good stuff is stam good. The bad stuff, that's very good. Well, What's going on? Right. So the truth, you know, the rabbi points out that on Yom HaSheni, right, on the second day of creation, there's no comment from God. You know, he splits the waters. And there's no comment. He doesn't say Barukim Kitov, doesn't say anything, right? So one of the shittas in the Medrash is because Yom HaSheni got paid back. When Akashu said Tov Ma'od, right? The Ma'od of Tov Ma'od goes back on Yom HaSheni. That was the payback. Because on Yom HaSheni, all these bad things were created. Right? All these bad things were created Yom HaSheni. When God split the water, that splitting, the first machloket, the first split, first chasm, right? Splintering of Maaseh Bereishis, on that day machlokes was created, on that day Gehenim was created. And all those things make up the Ma'od of Tov Ma'od. And the Medrash says another pshat also on Tov Ma'od. Ma'od is Oisius Adam. Ma'od, same letters, as Adam, man. Tov Ma'od, Tov Adam. Tov Ma'od is also the bad stuff. Right? Alluding to the challenge of the human situation. So I want to read you a Gemara in Brachas, and then we'll start taking these things full circle, literally full circle. Mar says in Brachas Daf Ches, very interesting, on the pasuk, Alzos Yispalo Kol Chosid Eilecha Le'es Mitzah. For this, every righteous man will daven to you. Le'es Mitzah, at the time of Mitzah, at the time of the finding, at the time of the finding. All right. Amar Le'es Mitzah Zuish. Rabbi Chanina says Le'es Mitzah, that refers to a woman davening for the time of the finding. It means to find a wife. Shenamar Matza Isha Matza Tov. He who finds a wife, has found goodness. Right? Leis Matza, according to, is an Isha. Right? Rerasan Omer Leis Matza Zu Taira. No, Leis Matza, the time of the find, the Matza refers to Taira. Shinemar, as the pasuk says, ki motzei motzachaim, those who find me have found life, and that refers to the Torah. Rav Yerachem Yitzchak Amar leis mitzo zu amisa, leis mitzo is death, right? Shinemar lamovet totzaot, right? So totzaot is the same root as motza. And then Rav Yochanan Amar leis mitzo zu kvura. No, that's burial. Leis mitzvah is burial. Amar Rav Chanina, Maikra, Ismachla, Gil, Yasisu, Ki Yimotsu Kever, to find the grave. So it's Kavura. Right? Yeah, then there's one more Shita where I don't know if we're going to be able to encompass this. Leis mitzvah, Zeb Beisakise, it's finding a place to be able to answer nature's calls. Right? Arivar Hoda Marzutra, Adifa Mikulu. Right, actually, the most preferred pshat was that of Marzutra. That's Beis Akise. Right, but I want to discuss the common denominator. It's a wife, it's Torah, it's death, it's burial. Right. Now,
That means if I never get married, then I'll never die either.
I can't say. I don't know. Not going to take responsibility for that. All right.
It's stretching it.
What?
It's stretching it a little bit.
Yeah. The idea is like this. Right. The pasuk says, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Double. Nachamu, Nachamu. Right. So the Medrash, the Psikta says, double, because we have to get double back from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to get kefil. So now, as it seems apparent from the Medrash itself, but the Mefarshim further explain, consolation is not just, the troubles are behind you, from this point onwards, it'll be good. That's not consolation. Right? It just means that the troubles are over. Consolation is that you have to somehow turn all the bad times into good. And this goes, you know, you're supposed to feel, how about the guy who always had a good life? His life was always perfect. So what's the consolation for a guy, you know, that went through hard times? From this point onwards, it'll be okay. Yeah, okay, but there's some people who had it okay the whole way through. What's the consolation of that? That from this point onwards, it'll be better. Right? You really need, you know, to also, and aside from that, from this point onwards, it should be good, there's got to be some type of payback for the hard times. You know where we find this? You know, in Halacha? The din of kefel by geneva. All right, person steals something from you, you know, breaks into your house, and, you know, breaking, robbery, geneva. All right, so when we find that we catch up to the crook, he pays double. All right, and you understand the justice in that. Because, you know, getting your thing back, obviously, getting your thing back, it's mine. It's not his, it's mine, obviously. Yeah, but you also got to be compensated for the stress, for having it, you know, removed from you, and you had no idea where to find it. Now, it's a very interesting halacha, right, that, you know, a mugger, right, you know, the guy came up to you in broad day, and you see, you know, who you're, you know, and he takes it out of your hand, right, and you call the cops, right, he doesn't pay kefil, right, he just pays, gives you back the object, right, the guy who snuck into your house and took it, he pays kefil. Well, why? You think a mugger is much more brazen. Yeah, but there's a difference. The mugger, you saw who took it from you. So because you saw who took it from you, you don't lose hope. You know who took it, right? You can, you know, call the cops and eventually get it back. The ganav who snuck into your home, you don't know where it went. You know, so you feel like totally, you know, hopeless, right? You're in a state of hopelessness. Right, and that's where you have to get compensation for that. Right, when there was hope, you know, if you're not, you could be calm about it. It's just a matter of time. We'll catch up to him and we'll make him pay for his crime. Right, but you know, the ganav, you don't know, and therefore there's hopelessness. Right, and that hopelessness needs to be compensated. So now the pasuk says, "Im himotze ti motze." If it will be found, you'll find the ganav, right? It's called himotze, finding, like leis mitzo, right? That you catch up to him, right? And you know, because the word mitzo, what does the word mitzia mean? Mitzia comes out of nowhere, like a mitzia that you're allowed to keep. The mitzia is bar be'esach hadas, because you know it came from, you have to do hashavas aveda, right? If you know where it came from, you have to return it to its rightful owner. Metzia comes from nowhere. What's the root of the word metzia? Matza? Tse. It came out of nowhere. It was yotze. You know, you could also say, you know, it also was yotze from the rishus of their bailim, because they're a miyayish. Comes out of nowhere. Right? The geneva, he matze ti matze, because you didn't know where to find it. So when you find the ganav, it's like you found him out of nowhere, because you had no idea where it went. Right? So now, you know, that's the consolation, that you're not just getting your thing back, but you're being compensated for the time you didn't have it. Right? And that's the nechama that the Ribbono Shel Olam intends to give us, b'mehera b'yameinu, right? Nachamu. That's not just good and be good from this point onwards, but it's going to be kefil, right? There's also going to be a double payment, that also the hard times that we had, right, are going to be turned and converted into good. And we're going to explain in a moment how that's possible, you know, which what the Ramchal really addresses, Ma'amar HaGeula, how we're going to get those days back. We're going to get that lost time back, Be'ezrat Hashem. And we'll explain how in a second. But the, you know, going back to, you know, this Gemara in Brachas, Davches, right? So he's about Torah, Isha, Misa, Kvura, all these things are called Eis Mitzo. So Torah, I'm going to get back to in just a second. But Isha, Misa, and Kvura, all in the same Parsha. All in the same Parsha. Chayesar. Right. Chayesar. Right. Besides the fact that it's the story about how Avraham Avinu, you know, buried his wife, But, you know, the story goes on that that's where Yitzhak finds Rivka. The whole story of the courtship, you know, between Yitzhak and Rivka is in that parsha. Right? So that's a very interesting parsha. First shidduch, recorded shidduch in history, right? Yitzhak and Rivka was done formally, sent Eliezer to negotiate, you know, the future marriage. Right? And it's the first Levaya in history also. You know, all the 2,000 years of world history, until then, with Parshas Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, you know, Vayera, just as people drop dead. Stam says, Vayomos, yeah? Just drop dead. Da, 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 right? First time that there's an honor, there's a eulogy and a proper, you know, a Levaya and a proper burial is in Parshas Chayesar. Avram Vinu was the first one, right? He bought her, looked for a good grave, right? And he, you know, and he put her away in an honorable way, right? And right after that, you know, is the story of, you know, sending Eliezer to find Rivka. And it's also something, you know, to further the connection. You know, what's the number one way? You know, everyone knows the first Mishnah in Kiddushin. You can marry a woman in three ways, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. What's the number one way that we do it? Kesef, right? Right? So where do we learn that out from? Kicha, kicha, mistei Ephron. Right? Learn out, Gzera Shava. Got Nasati Kesef Asada Kachmimani by Ephron when he bought the Maras HaMachpelah, right? And, right, and Xereshov that to Ki Yikach Ish Isha. Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. Right? 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 Because the common denominator between all these things, right, is that, you know, your wife, your other half, you don't know where to find her. Right, you know, God made her for you. You got no idea where to find her, so it's leis mitzo. Right, that's like the biggest miracle. What God has been doing, busy with ever since He created the world, is mezavig zivugim. That's what He's been busy with. Right, all right. Yes.
After over 60 years like this, I don't even want to find it anymore.
All right, whatever. We're just talking generally speaking. Right. All right, so Mizavek Zivugim, you know, you don't know where to find her. And Akash Baruch Hu, it's Matza Isha Matza Tov, right? You know, so you a person might think, you know, it's, you know, he's just half a human being and it's hopeless and it comes out of nowhere, right? But here's the thing: death and burial, right? You figure you lost the body, you lost life, and the body, you lost it. You put it in the ground, right? But it's not really, you will find it again by Trias HaMesim, right? You know, the body will come back, you know, so death.
It's form?
Yeah, yes, but it comes back better because it goes into the grave tainted with a Yetzer Hara, and when by the resurrection, by Trias HaMesim, Bimher B'Yameinu, it comes reconstructed only with good matter and no bad matter, and that's why that body is built to last and could absorb the entirety of the neshama and live forever. Right? So you thought that you lost the body, and just the opposite, you're going to get it back better than the way you put it away. Because you put it away as a mortal body, you know, with the weaknesses of the flesh, and that's why the body couldn't last forever. Tainted by the chet of Adam Arishan. The way you get back the same body, but improved. Right? Right, it's hard for us to see, you know, to see how it's going to go full circle, because it's really, and that's the point I want to get to, because it's not a straight line, it's going circular, right? It's like, it's an about face, it goes down to the ground, but then comes back up again. You know, we could see straight line thinking, straight, you know, just like we could see down the straight, you can't see it around corners, our mind works the same way. We could calculate linearly, you know, and be good with whatever we calculate linearly. This is a curveball. From the depth of it, right, comes back up. Bounce back. Right? It goes around. Right? The neshama
already been assigned.
Right? Right?
Excuse me? The neshama has been assigned already from one part to another part. To a new creation, a new child, a new...
He's talking about
Gilgul. Oh, he said about Gilgul.
The Gilgul.
All the Gilgul come back. All of them.
They're going to expand on it? What? The one Hashem is going to expand on
it? Yeah, every time it inhabits a body, it builds up new strength that by the reason it can animate that body plus the mitzvahs that it did in that body gives it new strength. Which comes to the question, you know, so le'es mitzo, right? Le'es mitzo is Torah, right? So we asked the question, they taught you the Torah already in your mother's womb. Then they made you forget it, right? So seemingly the best you can do is to get back to where you came from. So what's the point, right? No, right? Because you build up new energies facing all the challenges to recall that Torah. So when you get back, you will get, we are destined to get all that Torah back. Even what a person, you know, if a person, no, I'm not talking about if a person goofed off. If a person did the best he can, was not zocha to recollection of all the Torah that he was taught, he will get that Torah back. But he also gets new divine energies for all the trying and all the toil to recollect that Torah. So it actually deals with this gentleman's question. If you're in multiple Gilgulim, right, how are you going to, by the resurrection, one neshama for all these different bodies? Yes, because every time it faced challenges in that body, the struggle to recollect the Torah through Amelus, right, the struggle against the Yetzirah, builds up new spiritual energies that he didn't have before because of those challenges. And those new spiritual energies makes a whole new branch for the neshama that it can animate that body in addition to its original body and in addition to the next body it inhabits when it does mitzvahs and is omed b'nisyonos in that guf. So it comes out that we're going to get everything back plus, right, plus build new spiritual energies because we face these challenges. Right, so it's called that he mut le'es mitzo, like he mutz it's about to go. You get it all back, and you get kefil. You're going to get double. You're going to get everything back, plus you know new energies because of having faced the challenges and you know, and stood up to these challenges. Whether you overcame them or whether you just went through them with a great deal of bitachon, that it'll work out. That's also a type of work. So we said it's all in Parshas Chayei Sarah, and it's all in the context of the acquisition of a place called Ma'oras HaMachpela, Kefil, getting double, all right? That's the lesson taught, that death is, you know, we're going to get that body back, plus, right? Plus, you know, in a higher form, that it'll be worth it that it died, because that way it could be reconstructed just with good matter, and the bad matter is smelted out. So that's the message, Ma'oras HaMachpela, we're going to get Kefil. You get double, right? You get double. Yes?
What happens if my brother comes back, I don't want to come back. I don't know if he's going to be there.
Who?
My brother.
Oh, you got to patch up things with your brother. Huh? You got to patch things up between them. You got to have a reconciliation.
That can never happen.
No, yes, it could. Fine, but not now. I mean, well.
You'll deal with it when it happens.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it right now.
Anyway, so now you understand what it means, Tov Mod, very good. All the bad things are very good. Now, because the good that God gave already during the 6 days of creation, that's good. That's the God-created good. Very good means that there's new goodness. The new goodness is produced by our facing off with the evil, and because we face off with evil, overcoming it, and the things that we don't overcome, at least we face it with bitachon, that it's all from God and it's all for the good, which is also a form of work, taking it, you know, with faith, right, let alone if you overcome it. All right, so, you know, that facing off the evil converts the evil to goodness, adds the evil onto the goodness, annexes it, and makes tov mode, because all the bad things produce new divine lights, mikoach, the fact that the work that we did by facing off with it. Right? And that's Adam, that's man's mission. Tov mode, tov Adam, that's man's mission. Man's mission, that's what man was created to do, to face off with the evil and to make new divine lights out of that face off. So you're going to get everything that you had back, right? Plus, you know, all the struggle produces divine energy that builds up and expands your chelek olam haba more than just the chelek that you were born with. Besod kol yisrael shem chelek olam haba, right? And you will get new insights in Torah. You will understand the Torah deeper when you get back to, Gan Eden than the way you understood it before you were born. Because you have new spiritual reserve, new spiritual energies to have a deeper penetration of your chelik in Torah that you have not had, never having been born and never having to face these challenges that build your spiritual muscles. So you have a deeper appreciation of your chelik in Torah after having gone through all the challenges, right, that you could not have had prior to that. All right, the Maggid told the Beis Yosef that I believe it's Zohar, right, that the neshamas that are unborn, that they learn Torah, in heaven, they can't look the Shekhinah in the face. They're embarrassed. They never did anything to earn their existence. It's all just granted. It's charity. Right, it's only after the neshama has gone, lived, and faced challenge, when we go back, you can look the Shekhinah in the face. So you have everything you had plus, right? You get kefil, right? So but here's the thing, right? So you got to understand two things over here, right? That first of all, life is a loop, right? Now, we don't see it that way, and we don't think that way. We think that, time is linear, 1997, 1998, 1999, right? Never occurs to us, actually, time is really a loop, right? Because Kodem Shabra Olamo Hayahu Shmo Echad, before God created the world, Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, it was just him and his divine name. What does it say in the future? Bayomahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Right? We're moving back to, the world is actually getting back to where it started from. Right? And the same,
with the Malachim.
What?
This is with the Malachim, the tiny of the Malachim that Bnei Yisrael was being created. With this Brocha?
Right. Yeah, they don't know why we deserve it, right? But you have to realize that really, it's all a big loop. It's not a straight line. It's a loop, right? All right. It's already programmed in the cosmos that we have to make it to Mashiach, we have to make it to Tchias Veis, and we have to make it to Olam Haba, which is really to bring the world back to God, where it came from. It's one big loop, right?
Where Akif should connect it to Rosh.
That's right. Excellent. Right? Right? It's a loop, right? And that's why everything that there ever was is going to come back again. And that's what, the Leshem says, Tchias HaMesim. You know what it is? It's basically everything that was comes back again. That's what Tchias HaMesim is. Life is one big loop, right? Now the loop, where, like the gentleman said, it ends where it started. Right? And that's why everything that there ever was is all going to come back, right? Right? Except that it's not going to be getting back to the same place because all the challenges that you faced along the way, right, is new energies. So you're going to get back to where you started from, plus those new energies that you picked up along the way. But here's the catch. You got to be on the train till the end. You got to make it all the way, destiny. It's a loop, right? But you got to be on the destiny train till the last stop. Till the last stop. Right? All those nations, all those civilizations that ceased to exist, they, got off the train. So they were just there for the ride. They're off the train. Right? You stick with the train till the end. You have everything that the train is hauling. Plus, whatever you gain through the challenges that you faced along the way. That's what it means, right? That's what it means that when Yaakov was holding Esau's heel, right? Yaakov was holding Esau's heel, right? So, it's called him Yaakov. He's the heel, right? Say that, so Rashi says, because Bala Ligmor Malchu, so he wanted to finish his kingdom, meaning to be, say like this, that the Roman Empire, Golus Edom, the Golus that we're still in now, the Golus of Western civilization, right? He wants to be the last word in destiny. He wants to make it to the end. He's not going to make it to the end. only we make it to the end. The Akev, the end is by us. We're the ones who make it to the end. The ones who make it to the end also get back to the beginning. It's a loop. It ends where it starts. But you have to be on the train till the end. Ad hasof. Ad hasof, you get back to the beginning. Right? Just, and that's, you know, that's the what the Maharal says. You know, well, one of the outstanding nations of Edom is Amalek. Reshit goyim Amalek va'achariso ade oved, Bilam says about him. He's the first amongst nations, a competitor, a real competitor for Yisrael Shenikru Reshis. And I think we spoke about it once. That's why we have a mutually exclusive adversarial relationship, both competing for first place. There's only one first place. But achariso ade oved, he has no end. You know, he ends in oblivion. As opposed to our name, says the Maharal, Yisrael, we end off by the name of God. We make it till the end. You know, the world's destined, it started from God, and it's everything's going to go back to God. Everything that he created, you know, everything, it's all, you know, as it were. The Bria has been expanding, seemingly expanding universe, moving away from its origin and moving away from the Creator. It's all destined to go full loop back to the Creator. In Olam HaBa, everything is, you know, Zeh Hashem kivinu lo, nagil v'smachal b'yishua. So everyone just, everything just faces God. You know, everything's going to go, but you got to be on that train till the end, right? Yeah, that's what it means. Yaakov takes the end away from Esav. He's not going to be there at the end. So even though throughout most of world history, right, of the 6,000 years, let's say the Roman Empire, Western civilization, they had it good. We had it bad, right? We had, you know, Jewish people been through some hard knocks, but makes no difference. The question is, who's there at the end? That's the question. Whoever's there at the end has everything, plus he gets paid for all the challenges he went through. They're not going to be there at the end. The Akev, the end is by us. So it's an amazing thing. The end is, you know, if I would ask you geometrically, how big is the end point? How big is the end point? How big is a finish line? Infinitesimally small. Because you cut that line into half and cut that line into half. Infinitesimally small. The point that's called the finish. Like the heel, smallest part of the human being. Right? Yeah, you know, infinitesimally small. But it makes all the difference in the world. Because if you cross that finish line, you're in Olam HaBa. You don't cross that finish line, you're not in the eternal world. All the other civilizations, they get off the train of destiny before the end. And when you get off the train, you're off the train, so you don't have what you had. You just enjoyed the ride. It was just a ride, but you're not with the train anymore, right? You're off the train, right? So everything you had was just, it was just a good time for temporary, right? Am Yisrael sticks with the train till the end. That means you have all the days that make up that train of destiny. Am Yisrael has all the days, plus getting paid for the trials and travails that they faced during. Right? So that's why Akev can mean something small, right? Mitzvah and Dash Ba'akevav. It can also mean everything. Big Nisyonis, it can mean Kol Torah Kula, and it's not a contradiction, because the Nekuda, that the last point, is called the end. You know, infinitesimally small, and it could be that the last thing you need to do is one small mitzvah. Just one small mitzvah, right? And if you didn't do it once more, you hadn't crossed the finish line. So it could be something infinitesimally small. But it's everything. When you cross the finish line, you've taken all the days of Olam HaZeh with you. You didn't get off the train. You took the whole train with you into the eternal world. Right? So you complete the loop, right? Plus getting paid for all the hard times you went through. Right? But you got to make it, you know, till the end. And that's the special destiny of the Jewish people. We're the ones who are going to make it to the end. The Akev is by us. Via Akev Tishmun. We're going to make it to the Akev. We're going to have it basof, and that's why we're going to have Schar Mitzvah in Olam HaBa. They won't. The one who makes it to the end has everything, no matter how bumpy the ride was along the way. The people who don't make it to the end, they got off the train of destiny. They have nothing. They're off the train. So just called that they had a good ride, but none of them is bets and theirs. They got off the train. We ride the train till the end, right? The train of destiny. So we have the whole train. We have all those years, plus getting paid for the hard times. Right? And that's really what the Ramchal says, that all the divine lights of all these years of ghosts that were seemingly hidden from us, because we are in a state of Hester upon him, all those divine lights come back. And really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay us back. Because all the divine lights of those days, they aren't lost. They're going to come with us into the next, with us, accompany us in the next world. Right? He also talks about that there could be something as, you know, double time. That even if Mashiach, you know, has, let's say, a 10-year empire, God forbid, should come immediately, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu could double over a lot of divine lights that should have spread over many years. He could condense those divine lights. You know, we have this once a year, Aser Simei Tshuva. The Sfarim say, Aser Simei Tshuva, you relive the whole last year. And that's why you could fix last year. And every work it out. It means every day of Aser Simei Tshuva is worth 35 days. It's condensed time. Right. That's also a possibility, but it means those divine lights aren't lost. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us in a condensed form. We take those divine lights with us into the next world. The point is to make it to the finish line. You could see how all the tough times were there for your own good. The people who don't make it to the finish line, the tough times are just stomped the tough times. Because they never made it to the end of the story, where the whole thing flips. And you see how it was all for your good. They don't see the whole v'nahafochu, because they don't make it to the end. You got to complete the circuit. Only Am Yisrael has the Akev. Right? So now Yaakov Inu in his own days went from being called Yaakov to Yisrael. He went from Akev, heel, to Rosh, to head. Right? Yaakov Inu in his lifetime represented making the holes, and that's why Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Beshalva, he thought he was like in Olam Haba in his own lifetime, but HaKadosh said, no, Kofsel Rufsel Rosev, you know, there's still work to be done, even if you have your personal perfection, you went full circle in your life, the world still needs, you know, you have to fix the world if you fixed yourself. But there's someone that remained at the heels, Rabbi Akiva, he remained Bepchinas Akev, and that's what the Shlach HaKadosh says, that Rabbi Yaakov became Yisrael, Rosh. So it says by the serpent, you know, Veva Oshis, you know, between the children of the woman and the serpent, who Yeshuv Harosh, he gets you by the head, right? And that's how Yaakov that became a Rosh, he creamed the Malch Vesav. Va'ata Teshufenu Akev, but you, the snake, you could get him at the heels. And that was Mekuyim, Rachmanitzan, and by Rabbi Akiva, that the Roman Empire killed him. And Rabbi Akiva represents the Akev, you know, the heel. Right? But Rabbi Akiva was the one, he and his Talmidim, and we explained this once, right, were the ones that fashioned, you know, codified the Torah Shebaal Peh, gave us the whole Mishnah, Tosefta, Safra, Sifrei, Kulu, Stimasa, Libet, Rabbi Akiva. They made the Torah Shebaal Peh, they codified it and they organized it, that it should last until the end of time. What's the end of time called? Ikvasa de Mashiach, the heels of Mashiach. Right? And that's how we should not, you know, and Chazal talk about Ikvasa de Mashiach, at the heels of Mashiach. The end of time, they called Ikvasa de Mashiach. When we're going to be Mamish Akevayim, that we're going to, you know, if our earlier generation is like the head, you know, they were like the head. We're like the heels, you know, of Am Yisrael. We're mamish, the lowest of the low, right? Right? But it makes no difference. It's up to us to hang tight, to complete the revolution, to complete the circuit, right? And from Ikvas of Mashiach, goes straight into Yemos HaMashiach. Rabbi Akiva, his whole life work was to provide that it should make it ad Ikvas of Mashiach, until the heels of Mashiach. And that's his whole way of thinking. He doesn't see, you know, he doesn't see the here and now. He always sees the future. He's not thinking here and now. He always thinks ahead. So going back to the stories, you know, Meseches Makos. So first, you know, they saw Kol Hamula Shoromi, right? You know, they heard, you know, the big party. And Rabbi Akiva says, right, he's laughing. Because im lo over rutzono, lo ser tachas kam v'kama, I'm thinking Olam Haba. If they have such a good time in Olam Hazeh, our Olam Haba must be something awesome. Because they went against God's will and they have it good. Imagine what our Olam Haba look. He's looking at Olam Haba, he's not looking at Olam Hazeh. But they don't respond. Right? Because that's no consolation. So it'll be good in Olam Haba. You know, and the schar that's waiting for us is much bigger than all the pleasure these goyim get. But what about now? So Rabbi Akiva, I understand, you're thinking future, we're thinking now, and there's no consolation for the here and now. But then in the second story, Rabbi Akiva says, you know, the negative prophecies are inextricably bound up with the positive prophecies. You can't have the good times without the bad times. You need the bad times to make the Tov Ma'od. So the here and now, when you have a future perspective on the here and now, you realize that the here and now is also for the good. Oh, that's it. Now you're saying good. And you say, Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu. Akiva, we hear where you're coming from. You're thinking Akev. You're thinking the end. You're thinking future vision, right? And now, and in future vision, there is the Nachamu, Nachamu, right? The Kefo, Akiva Nichamtanu, that the concession will be double, right? That not only good times are coming and it'll be good from that point onwards, but also all the bad times, we'll see how they were all for our benefit, and all the bad times will turn. We'll be Nehefach Letov, Akiva Nichamtanu, Besod Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, because Akiva, Akev, Oya Akev Tishmon, right, that we have to realize to a speciality of Jewish people is that we're the nation that makes it to the end. All the other civilizations, they had a good ride, but that's all they had. They had a good ride, and they're going to get off the train before the end of time. They're not going to be Gomer Malchusam. The end is by us. That means we're the ones who finish the ride. That means the whole train is by us, plus we're going to get paid for how it was a bumpy ride along the way. Bimhera be amazing. Yeah.